On this week's episode, we talk about Netflix's new Avatar: The Last Airbender series.
In other pop culture news.
Right, today was the long-awaited, highly anticipated debut of Netflix's live-action adaptation of Avatar: The Last Airbender, and we watched the whole thing.
Yeah, it was only 8 episodes in contrast and opposition to the 20 plus of the season. Each season was like 20-ish. Yeah. But again, the episodes of the animated show were 20-ish minutes, and this one were
About an
an
hour.
hour long. But we knew, we talked about before, it was announced, it was publicized that they would cut a lot of things, like episodes that there's even some stuff that in the show they mentioned that quite don't make sense to the show per se. It's more like a reference to the animation. Like there's a moment that Sokka's talking about food, and it's like, oh, you only think about food, you only talk about food. And in the show, he doesn't do so much. As in the animation, heavily inspired by Japanese humor, action. Young adults, not young adults, children, older children type of animation. You know, Goku loves to eat, so as many other characters on that type of animation. So, but they had to cut. I guess they made the decision to cut. That's more like it, because they could make 20 episodes. They cut episodes to the essential, would you would say? Bare minimum.
They made some interesting choices. There were a couple of additions and some things that were like almost play by play what we see in the animated series. But then other things got super squished. So like episodes 1 and 2 feels like okay, about that normal pace. And then all of a sudden, in the Omashu episode, we get like 3 or 4 major storylines just like jammed in to one episode. I think they pulled it off pretty well, but there were a couple decisions that I didn't totally agree with. It's a high bar though. Last Airbender is a beloved series that people watched over and over again. And it's got lore and it's got comics and it's got like fan theories and all this stuff. So to come in and make a live action adaptation that makes everybody happy is gonna be almost impossible.
So the episodes in comic version, or they expand?
They expand. So, like one of the ones you got me, Suki Alone, kind of fills in some off-screen time.
For season 1, 2, or all of them?
Shoot, I can't remember. Season 3, I think.
Season 3.
But it just follows like one character on to some events that happen
Main
off-screen.
character? Not main character.
Secondary.
Yeah, because the main character's always together, sort of.
Yeah, the gang is always
And
together.
yeah, they definitely had to make concessions and cut things. It's like I just saw a scene. She just showed me a scene of the character. What's his name?
Iroh.
Iroh. And he interacts with some almost like extra type of characters. He sings for a kid, and there's a ceremony for his son, and it's like that alone. It shows how much different the show, because the show, the live action show, the Netflix show, is it's intense, it's nonstop. We basically I can almost say that we do not have any moment for individual characters. They always together. They always is always the arc is always this moving the story. Like the scene from the animation, it was just one character and some things that he does, something that happened to him, and in the show there's never a moment like that, because even when Aang, the main character, is alone, he ends up interacting with another character. There is not a main character, but another character is from the past that is very important for the story. There's not a lot of character development by interacting with random characters or random actions, besides one moment and when in the beginning when Aang runs with little kids and that's it.
Yeah, so they took out a lot of that time. This is really just covering book one, Water, or like the first season of the animated series. And they definitely skipped a lot of that whole like long journey thing. There are a few stops. We go to Kyoshi Island, we go to Omashu, visit like the Southern Air Temple and things like that. But yeah, he doesn't really like stop and hang out there. They don't stop and like learn new skills or, you know, have little like character arcs
and things. To eat or to train.
Yeah, and that was one thing that, well, I don't want to spoil anything. But like for Katara, she spends this whole journey from like the South Pole to the North Pole. She uses that whole time to do a lot of like training and learning and growing. And this one, we don't really get to see much of that. It all just sort of like happens in the last couple of episodes. So there is a bit of a loss there. Overall though, I think they did a pretty good job. It's really growing on me. The production design, like perfect. No, so like costumes, sets, everything in the background, like no notes. It was spot on. The bending, the effects, I thought all looked really great. The music, it's just the music from the show, except in bigend a little bit, which is great. So I felt like there were some moments that we just talked about that I would have made different choices, but I think I know that I'm being extremely picky about this. It's probably just fine. The acting, and I don't know if it was the actors or if it was the director not directing them well, it left a lot to be desired, and it took me a few episodes to really get into it and to buy into these characters. For me, Katara never got there. Given that you only have 8 episodes, you don't have a few episodes to waste breaking the ice and getting us comfortable, and there just wasn't, I feel like a lot of the actors came across as very flat.
And if anything, Japanese animation, on which this one is inspired, this one is not mm-hmm. a Japanese per se. It's an American version of what the Japanese do. And I assume the animation has some of the same elements of mm-hmm. exaggeration of characters that are like extremely angry or get like, when it's fun, it's like, ha ha ha, open their mouths gigantically to laugh.
Yeah, and stuff like that. And you can do that in a cartoon. So yeah. like live action, your range of emotion would be like this, and the cartoon is like,
yeah,
it's like this.
And my point of that is those characters as big in emotion as they are, mm-hmm. it's very compelling. You fall in love or you hate them like right away, mm-hmm. Because it's like full of emotion on the image, you know, on the animation, and on this one, I don't know. I feel like mm-hmm. One Piece was much more successful doing that. Mm-hmm. You know, they had the tough guy. I can't remember the name of the character.
I don't remember any of
the names. The tough guy that was the first officer on the ship. Mm-hmm. You know, was a tough guy and swords and, you know. And you had the main character.
To be fair, that main character, I don't know how they found a human anime. Like, how do they find a human being that has, like, such a cartoonish face, but that still looks normal?
He was very, very joyful, very happy but he, like, kick some butt when it was time to kick butt. Mm-hmm. It was a range of emotions. Very similar to the anime. In this one, they were not as successful. Mm-hmm. They do have action, they have drama, they have mm-hmm. romance, they have funny moments, I guess, a little.
Yeah.
But never had seen the show, I mean the animation before. I could tell that some stuff were hushed, you know, it was like 20 episodes, they were like compact in ways because there mm-hmm. was a lot of stuff on one single episode or one single half of episode. It was like, there's no way they did that in one episode of 20 minutes
or even close.
3 because it comparing to the hour. But overall, it's not bad. It's very good.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, I think it's well worth a watch. I look forward to the next season. Like, I hope they can keep it up. They put a lot into this. Our girls really got into it. Well, let me put it this way. We watched the first couple episodes, and then our daughters went next door to hang out with their grandmother. Our four-year-old came back with her grandmother's tablet watching the animated series. And she asked, like, when we had lunch and turned it back on, she asked to watch the animated one. But they also made their own elements to bend. Like, they crafted them. So it got them really excited and into it, but they kind of preferred the animation. I do, too. Nothing's going to replace that or take that over. That said, this is pretty good.
Yeah.
Overall, it could have been so much worse. And there are aspects of it that are really growing on me the more I think about it, so...
Yeah, no, it was very interesting, entertaining, compelling.
Mm-hmm.
Again, there's at some moments it feels like they're trying to do a lot in one episode, mm-hmm. and sort of works.
Mm-hmm.
But you do feel, especially knowing there's an adaptation of something, and it's like, you know, when you adapt some work. You might have to cut stuff to prioritize something else,
mm-hmm.
and like Lord of the Rings, they cut several things. Like they could cut Tobombadil, which some people like crazy about it. I'm not so much crazy about it, but anyways, in this one, it felt like even though they had to compact in mm-hmm. adapting. It felt like they were trying to keep as much as humanly possible. And in some episodes, you can tell. In some episodes, it's not so much. The episode with the girls, what was it called? Hiyoshi?
Oh, Kyoshi Island.
The Kyoshi Warriors.
Mm-hmm.
The episode felt there was I don't know how many episodes they used that on the show.
I can't remember, but I feel like that pace was about the same as it was.
Yeah.
So, like Kyoshi Island, we get... an hour there, but then we get, if you know, you know, King Bumi, the Freedom Fighters, and the Mechanist all in one episode.
Yeah,
that's so much.
Yeah.
so
it's not, I mean,
so something's got like a ton of time. I feel like maybe we could have used that to develop some other things more, like Katara's waterbending, and that other things got super condensed, which I understand, but if you're going to super condense things, like, maybe we could have left room for, like, use some of that saved time to do some character development.
Yeah.
That was missing. And it's one of the strengths of the animated series. Like, there are a lot of episodes you could call filler, but they don't really feel like filler because maybe they're not, like, aggressively driving towards the goal during those episodes, but you're getting really fantastic character and lore development, so it's all good.
And yeah.
Anyway,
but very well done, very very good effort. It premiered today, so we might come with the numbers, see what happens.
Mm-hmm.
From fans of the animation and from new fans from Netflix watchers to see this adaptation of Avatar. Secrets of Pandora.
Nope. No, oh my gosh. Take it back.
Avatar, The Last Airbender.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah. Adaptation from the movie by M. Night Shyamalan.
Oh my gosh. You're just over here pushing buttons.
Anyways, Avatar, The Last Airbender. Is that what it's called, right?
Yeah.
I mean, the live action is called that. Avatar, The Last Airbender.
Yeah.
Is available on Netflix. you should watch it. It's fun. It's good. And yeah, let us know if you want.
Mm-hmm.
Only if you want. Anyways, moving on.
Okay, Freelance. It's another
Freelance.
Thing we watched.
Oh my goodness, Freelance is a piece of. No, I'm not gonna say that, but it's crap. It's really bad. But well. Let's start from the beginning.
Okay.
Freelance is available on Hulu, and I think it's a Hulu original. I hope not, because Hulu should pay for better things, since Disney is paying for so much crap, and Hulu is
I didn't even think about that.
Hulu is not so much Disney. It's a percentage of Hulu belongs to Fox, Disney, and the other rest to Comcast. So, but anyways. So, Freelance with John Cena Allison Brie, mm-hmm. not Brie Larson, not...
My brain has decided they're the same name for the same person. Oh, well.
Who else was in that crap? I guess that's it.
I think
Oh, the South Africa guy, can't remember his name.
Oh,
Christian
yeah.
Slater was uh-huh. one of the two. And Teresa Palmer, I think, is the name of the blondie wife.
I don't remember.
Yeah, she was in Star Trek.
She was, that's right.
Yeah. Teresa Palmer. I'm like, Alice Eve. Yeah, it's not Teresa Palmer. Teresa Palmer is one that, some other blonde. Anyways, so available on Hulu. And fun facts about this movie, and we knew, I mean, I knew.
Mm-hmm.
I just thought it was like, that might be exaggeration. But this movie, once it was first out, which it was a while ago, it's not brand new, but once it was out, it got 0% of Rotten Tomatoes. And I was like, there's no way. That, like, come on, 0%? That's like me some sort of protest. Mm-hmm.
It was a protest against mediocre cinema is what it was.
It was, yeah. So, main story is John Cena mm-hmm. is a former military operator
mm-hmm.
and
Special Forces.
He's a lawyer, takes care of his family,
uh-huh.
and he's feeling miserable.
Yep.
But one of his former colleagues from the military invites him to work on a private military contractor.
Mm-hmm.
That do rescues and security and mm-hmm. stuff like that. And then he gets that and goes to a country in South America to protect a reporter that's going to interview a dictator. And that's how it begins.
Mm-hmm.
So that's all you need to know. And that's probably, that's the trailer. That's probably the only thing you should watch, the trailer.
Yeah, I mean, don't even waste your time because it'll just make you disappointed. John Cena has been great in some really fun projects. And even in, like, less... great movies he's done, he's been a highlight. He could save this movie. The plot was all over the place. The characters made no sense. I feel like at moments it was trying to be a comedy, but it wasn't that funny. And other moments it tried to lean into the drama and the action, but the characters were so comedic, I couldn't take it seriously. And so that didn't work.
Yeah.
Don't waste your time.
It was bad.
I'm sorry to everyone who worked really hard to make it. It didn't work.
They got paid, so I guess. It's fine. They got paid. The check cleared. They moved on to work in some other crap.
Yeah.
Also, if they look lucky, something good.
Yeah.
There's some drastic, some really bad stuff. Like, character in the beginning, like 5 minutes later, it's completely different. It's like not character development. It's like a different character.
Mm-hmm.
There's that. And in the beginning, it feels like they're trying to make John Cena's character Petit. What was his name?
Yeah, Mason Pettit.
Maison Petit.
Mm-hmm.
And trying to make him into a serious action character like he was in his very first movie. And I think mm-hmm. it was probably the last one. Then I think it was the Marine, something like that. And then he's been in comedies or action comedies and fairly successful for mm-hmm. what he does. He did Peacemaker that was mm-hmm. very comedic. But they tried to go for that, like, serious. He's a family man and gonna save the day, mm-hmm. help this reporter, interview this bad dictator. And then 5 minutes later, the reporter is kind of like rough towards him.
Yeah, and she's like, oh my gosh, I know you security types.
Yeah. And then she changes into a more friendly person. And the dictator that was like a terrible person changes into a nicer person.
Yeah.
And
you know what it reminds me of? There's an older Bob's Burger episode where Linda does like dinner theater at the restaurant,
uh-huh.
and it's a murder mystery, and at the beginning she says it's not the butler, and then at the very end she goes it was the butler. And everyone was like, but you said it wasn't the butler. That's basically the plot twist that we had going on here, where they're like, it's not the butler, it was the butler.
But Bob's Burger probably did better.
Yes, because that was funny. Very funny.
Yeah. Anyways, this whole mess, I went to check who the heck made this. And I can't remember if it was the writer. No, the writer was actually a writer that directed good stuff. He directed Taken.
Yeah,
right?
Heck.
How he got involved into this?
Oh, maybe
But
his
the
kid got into
writer,
a private college and.
I think he only had one movie on his credits, this one. And besides that, the writing works he did was writing for Jimmy Kimmel. I was like, what the heck?
It was not a successful transition.
Who this guy sleeping with to get from Jim writing stupid, unfunny jokes for Jimmy Kimmel to write a movie with John Cena,
Oh, man. I know.
and fail.
And John Cena can do this. We've seen John Cena do good drama and good comedy and then like dramatic comedy and comedic
Good drama. What was wrong with
drama.
it?
Well, like you were talking about the Marine.
Oh,
I mean, maybe
okay.
drama is the wrong word, but like serious
It's
stuff,
Shakespeare.
serious heavy stuff. Yeah. So like we know that he can do it. This was not his fault.
Yeah, it was
And
writing. I mean, the director
yeah.
proved he directed Taken, so it's a guy that knows how to direct a movie. It was definitely writing.
Yeah.
Yeah, and I don't know, Jimmy Kimmel's cousin, or whoever he's sleeping with, got this movie. It's on Hulu. If you want, go watch, but don't.
This is an MST3K style movie.
Yeah,
Like,
don't.
watch it for
Or
purposes of
watch the next one we're gonna talk
making fun of.
about, which is an older movie, which is actually really good.
Yeah, Pinball.
Yeah,
The man who saved the game.
we save the game. The premise is, pinball was illegal in New York City. And you gotta have to watch the movie to know why. I'm not gonna tell you. I hope you watch because it's a fun movie,
It's really well
and
made.
you're gonna find out why. As I did, I didn't know that. As a video game pinball enthusiast, I had no idea that in the United States of America, land of free, pinball was illegal.
But what about the children?
Yeah, I still quite. With the reasoning they use, you could use it towards comic books or
Were there people who tried though?
movies. Yeah,
There was a huge like fear about the moral
that was the code.
depravity
That
of.
was the code. Yeah,
Yeah.
yeah. But it was different reason. It was a morality, and in the pinball was about extortion, money. Anyways, not gonna get into that. But it is about this guy that moving to New York after college, and working as a writer. He starts working for GQ. GQ, right?
Yeah.
Rolling Stone was the other movie. Yeah, he started writing for GQ, and he's a pinball enthusiast. He loves pinball, and he decides to he finds out it's illegal in New York, and he decides to write about it. And parallel to that, the people that are fighting to make it legal ask him for help. And there's a very cool breaking the fourth wall
Yeah.
narrator. He depicts a really good actor. The actor, the main character is really good. The cast is really good. Writing is solid. Very
It's
fun movie,
fantastic, yeah.
based on real life. Very entertaining. You should watch if you like pinball or not. If you still think people should be illegal, you should watch especially.
Yes.
But Pinball, the man
Who saved the
who
game?
saved the game, is available on Hulu. So instead of watching Freelance, you see Freelance, drop the remote,
Skip it.
and
Skip
if
it.
you look, the remote will fall by Pinball, and you're gonna watch. It's very fun. It's yeah, we recommend.
Yes, highly. So go check that out. All right, let's look at the box office for this week. Bob Marley did pretty well.
Did
Not bad. I mean, not
big
great, but.
spectat big expectations. It made 51 million on extended weekend. The movie budget was 70 million, so 50 million on the first weekend is spectacular
Yeah.
for a movie that cost 70. It was projected to make 35 only on the first weekend and made 51. In far second, far distant second, came Madame Web with 25 million.
Which for a lot of movies would be lovely, but not for a big Sony
Oh, big budget,
Spider-Man
Sony
universe type.
Marvel movie, yeah.
Yeah, that's not good
Big
dollars for
fail.
them. But despite Bob Marley doing what is it called? One Love?
Yeah.
Yeah. Despite it doing well, the President's Day box office was bad.
Yeah, it was the worst in almost 3 decades.
Yeah. So again, we're really rooting for Dune here to kind of pick things up again.
Oh, they're saying so much good things about Dune. The worst thing, I heard about Dune was there was, I can't remember, but it wasn't like saying bad things. Mm-hmm. Most of the blurbs I see everywhere is like better than the first one, which is like wow, that's the first one a lot. First one was really good.
Yeah, you know how good it is. My dad just watched it with his girlfriend.
He saw it already. Dune 2?
No, Dune 1. Oh, okay. Sorry, Dune. But he's super stoked about the second one. He wants to take her to see it. So he sat his girlfriend down to watch it. She does not like science fiction. She's not super into fiction in general. So he sits her down to watch this like 3-hour esoteric like desert planet space saga thing. She loved it. She loved it because it's just like, it's just really good literature, I guess. Like it just a phenomenal film.
No, it's very good.
Yeah.
So we are excited for Dune 2.
Yeah.
And it's next week, right? Next week.
I think so.
It's the 29th. It officially is on the 1st.
March 1st. So, yeah.
But it's
a 29th.
Boy. We see it the night before.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah.
Okay. Not all is doom and gloom, though. Anyone But You.
Dune and gloom?
Anyone But You set a record for the highest grossing live action Shakespeare adaptation.
Yeah.
I didn't realize it was Shakespeare.
It's like I think it's Taming of the Shrew, right? No, that's not Shakespeare, right?
Yeah, Taming of the Shrew.
It looks like that. We didn't see the movie yet, but it looks like they hate each other, mm-hmm. pretending not to hate each other, and then they fall in love. Isn't that more or less the premise?
That's not Taming of the Shrew.
No,
Taming of the Shrew. Well,
so what? It would be the.
I wonder if it's more Much Ado About Nothing.
Much Ado About Nothing is the one with Kenneth Branagh.
Mm-hmm. That's all of them, babe. He did so many.
Denzel.
Yes.
Okay. Yeah, that sounds like it's.
I think it's.
I don't know. We might see it, but again, it increases the feel of Madame Web because that girl brings people to the theaters. With that guy too, but if we say half of the success of the movie was because of her, right? Mm-hmm. Between her and him, right? Mm-hmm. He has half, she has half. If she has half of the credit for the success of this movie, Madame Web should do much better because she's on it, and it failed. Mm-hmm. So not even her being there helped. But anyways, enough about Madame Web.
We can move on.
But yeah, we might see. Yeah, I want to see that one. It looks funny. It looks cute. Mm-hmm. I mean, I'm not desperate. It's like, oh, we have to go buy tickets to see this movie. No, but when it pops on streaming, we watch it. If it is not too long in the future, too far in the future, we might talk about it. If not, yeah.
Yeah. I wasn't super interested, but knowing that it's a Shakespeare adaptation piques my curiosity. Speaking of Shakespeare, let's talk BAFTAs. This is the British.
Or maybe it's Romeo and Juliet. Maybe her family doesn't want her, and maybe his family doesn't want him, and that's why they pretend. I don't know. We'll see, and we'll figure out.
Yeah. Okay. Yeah.
But yeah, the BAFTAs happened this week, and of course, Oppenheimer, Nolan's masterpiece, another one, won several awards, including Best Picture, Best Actor for Murphy, Cillian Murphy, Best Actor for Robert Downey Jr., mm-hmm. Best Picture, I told that, Best Director. It was like the biggest winner of the night.
Yeah.
Emma Stone, following the trend of other festivals or the awards, she also won for Poor Things, is that called?
Poor Little Things.
Poor Little Things, yeah.
Yeah. Which so, we obviously haven't seen.
A new take on Frankenstein, which, yeah.
Is it?
Yeah.
Oh, interesting. Yeah. So no surprises there, really. And it makes me think we're not going to have any huge surprises at the Oscars when those happen.
Yeah.
Like, it's been pretty consistent across the board.
But again, the Academy is a mess, so.
Fair enough.
They might give to people that don't deserve.
Yeah. One surprising award this week. I don't know where this award came from, but Rachel Zegler.
It was a Critics' Choice. No, the People's Choice Awards.
Well, I don't know that the people this is fishy.
And understanding that Joe Biden is the president, people really make bad decisions when they vote. So,
well, this, we haven't had good options for decades, this
one,
frankly.
This one is not an exception.
This one we had good options. I don't know what people were thinking. The last few presidential elections, not to get too into
not
it.
Not good options.
We have not had good options.
Not good options. This one, we had valid options.
Yeah.
Like Joe Biden, the winner was an invalid option. They should not even be running.
Okay, yeah. So Rachel Zegler won an award for Action Movie Star of the Year.
What movie?
That was my first question, and he reminded me, Ballad of Snakes and Songbirds, which did have action sequences in it, but like...
She runs.
Yeah, and she's good at running. She was good in that movie. But let's just remember, she was up against John Wick 4, Keanu Reeves.
Keanu Reeves, John Wick, that fell like stairs in Paris, like fell like all day, all night.
Yeah.
Among other action pieces on that movie.
Tom Cruise, quite literally in real life, driving a motorcycle over the edge of a cliff.
Yeah.
In Mission Impossible.
He himself, no stunt.
Yeah,
because,
yeah.
The stunt deserves a... No, he did.
Yeah, what I mean, literally. I mean, like, literally, like, yeah. And what was Gal Gadot in this year?
Gal Gadot?
Yeah, you've got her on the list here.
Oh, that's right.
That she beat
was,
out. It was
the Netflix show.
Oh, what was that?
Netflix show, right?
Yeah.
I can't remember the name. She was a super spy.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Oh, I can see it in my head. Oh, well. Anyway, yeah. So.
Real action. Superstars. Mm-hmm. Action movies.
With like remarkable, like unforgettable action sequences. But
yeah, but Rachel Zegler won.
Yeah, this one, and this one's not even her fault. Some of the things I get annoyed at her about, like, okay, that's on you. This one, it's not even her fault.
Well, but... I mean, yeah, it's not her fault, obviously. But it's like she shouldn't be even nominated.
Right? Like, who did that?
Yeah, was it a diversity type of nomination? Because I don't know. Anyways.
Oh well, be better, people. Okay, let's talk business for a second. Peacock and Paramount Plus maybe merging? What's going on?
That would be interesting. Mm-hmm. Not only because it's nice for the consumer.
Mm.
Because, you know, instead of paying for two, you're paying for one. Unless they made the
double the
one.
Price.
Yeah. But it's one place where you can find everything. And also it would be interesting because every time there's a couple shows that I never know if it's on Paramount or on Peacock. I go to once, oh, it's on Peacock. Oh, as a
I get the two. Yeah, yeah, and it's specifically those two
that
I get mixed up.
Yeah, yeah.
Every time. In the meantime, Amazon is... Did they start commercials already on Prime?
Yeah.
Yeah, and so then there were rumors that Freevee was going to get cut, but then Amazon's saying no.
There's still a lot of outlets that are claiming that Freevee will go down, but Amazon is denying, saying, oh, no, you don't need that. Because it would be a way to
kind of circumvent the whole
one place for ads instead of doing on two places.
Mm-hmm. Yeah. So I don't know. We'll see what happens. Sticking with television for a minute. Young Sheldon had its best premiere with 7.78 million viewers. Good job, guys.
Mm-hmm.
Frasier got renewed for season 2.
Yeah, good. Kelsey Grammer is great. He's loved. He's talented. His show is really good. He's doing more of the great things he did back on his original show, all the way back to Cheers. Some really old school television makers that made those shows making Frasier, and it's funny, so well deserved. Mm-hmm. It's coming back to Paramount.
Yes,
Paramount.
Good job, you got it right.
Next year.
Yeah, we look forward to that. Fun casting announcement for Foundation season 3. Join Troy Kotsur.
Yes, Troy Kotsur that we saw on Curb Enthusiasm last week, and it's a Oscar winner for his role on Coda. Incredible movie, you should see.
Phenomenal.
And yeah, he's working, keep working hard, and he's gonna be on what?
Foundation.
Yeah.
Which sounds cool.
Prim Palver.
Prim Palver.
Palver.
Do you know who that is?
No.
Okay, I don't. I didn't even bother looking it up. I was like, it's gonna be somebody.
I
with a cool costume.
I didn't dare to read Foundation yet.
Yeah, I'll get there someday. I think that's one that's gonna have to wait for like Empty Nest. Like we get the kids grown up, and then I think I'll have the brain space.
The second book on the Dune trilogy.
Possibly.
All the Silmarillion.
Oh my gosh. So many good books that I very badly want to read, but I just, anyway. Anyway, that's a different conversation. Ballerina has been pushed to summer 2025.
Ballerina, the spinoff on John Wick, mm-hmm. Is going to give place to The Crow.
Okay, this is a remake that's taking over the June 2024 slot. So, I can't talk tonight. The CW's Brad Schwartz revealed something about Superman Legacy and why Superman and Lois ended.
Yeah, it was sort of a rumor, and we got the confirmation this week mm-hmm. that Superman and Lois was canceled, like all the DC properties. I think mm-hmm. Maybe Titans, maybe Doom Patrol. Everything DC is coming to an end because mm-hmm. Because the delicate genius of James Gunn, he's creating his own DC. And having a Superman on CW would create comparisons and competition, which is like, no, there's only my Superman.
Mm-hmm.
Which, by the way, this week they posted a picture of the first table reading, the first cast meeting for the new Superman Legacy.
Oh.
And it's causing controversy too. It's causing a commotion. Not because of all the people there, it's like everybody basically knew who all the people that are supposed to be there. Nicholas Holt was there bald, but again, it's like Luthor, no surprise.
Yeah.
And Fillion was there. They took a selfie, and it was like, uh-huh. And one of the pictures of the meeting of the table read was, you can see a Superman logo on the corner, and there's a Superman that looks exactly, if not is, the logo from Superman and the Kingdom Come by Alex Ross and Mark Waid,
mm-hmm.
which is an old dark future. Is it an old Superman in this like dark future? And it's confusing. I don't know why he was gonna, but again, it's James Gunn. He wants to be different, so maybe he's gonna do that. But he claimed before that he would do like a classic Superman, so. Anyways, don't trust James Gunn. We'll see what's going to happen, but that's all that. Yeah.
I don't think we're holding our breath for anything there. We'll just, we'll see. Okay, One Piece, we talked about before, the live action is getting ready for season 2. They want Danny DeVito for the cast.
Yeah, but again, who doesn't, right? Danny DeVito, everybody wants Danny DeVito and everything.
He's actually really delightful. Everything he's in.
Even like Freelance, that movie that we told us not to watch. If Danny DeVito was on it, we would say watch it. Because Danny DeVito is on it.
Yeah, it would have been less of a waste of time. That's for sure. That is for sure. David Katzenberg is going to be directing the Ferris Bueller spinoff.
Yes. It's called Sam. It would be called
Sam and Victor's Day Off.
Which is the guys that steal the Ferrari. Which is like, I heard of that idea before. It's like, oh, come on, guys. It's like, you want to waste money.
Yeah. Speaking of wasting money, let's talk Disney and the MCU.
Well, before that, Star Wars Battlefront, the original.
Oh, yeah.
Going to be released in March for pretty much all the platforms. Remastered. I mean, sort of remastered.
Mm-hmm.
It was a PlayStation 1 game, I think, 2, PlayStation 2, and I was going to be released on PlayStation 4, 5, Xbox, Nintendo, and yes, so fans of the classic mm-hmm. are, and PlayStation did that before with Republic Commando, with Star Wars Racer,
mm-hmm.
And going to do with this part of that classic series.
Yeah. Okay, so it's coming March 14th, Pi Day. Okay, now let's talk MCU, Disney, all that good stuff. There's a rumor that Henry Cavill has signed on with the MCU.
Oh, everyone, they talked about it. They did that before, a couple mm-hmm. months ago, but now it's been doing it again.
Mm-hmm.
Especially because they announced, Disney Marvel announced that Kang is dead. They're not going to use the Kang name on the movie. They're not going to use the Kang timeline, Kang storyline. So they need a new bad guy. So the first thing, especially because the Fantastic Four movie was announced, the first top name on the list of the suspicious characters, because they said this is going to be a character very important. So everybody's thinking he's going to be a villain, and people are betting he's going to be Doctor Doom. But it could also be a minor character. I don't know. Stallone was on Guardians of the
That's
Galaxy,
right.
so I hope it's not the case, but we'll see.
We will indeed. In the meantime, MCU actor Ben Mendelsohn, who, what was his character's name?
I can't remember. He
He
was
was one of the
in Secret
Skrull.
Invasions, yeah.
Yeah. Anyway, he says he.
Tylak, I can't remember.
I can't remember. Anyway, he said he would give his eyes and teeth to play Doctor Doom.
And fun fact, he would not need eyes and teeth because Doctor Doom wears a mask.
That's right. So it's on the table.
He is a
It's an
great
option.
actor. He would be a
He really
great
is.
bad guy, as he was Rector Krennic on Rogue One.
Yeah.
But and he was wasted on the MCU already.
Oh, yeah.
Before Captain Marvel was out, everybody, oh, this guy, super bad guy, and turned out that the Skrulls were not even the bad guys.
Yeah.
So he was wasted. So I highly doubted that they would use him again. Too bad.
Which is a shame. I think that could have been really fun to see.
Yeah.
I don't know the Fantastic Four very well at all, but I mean, Ben Mendelsohn is great, so.
What the Fantastic Four has to do with anything?
Wasn't Doctor Doom a Fantastic
Oh
Four villain? Yeah.
yes. I mean, yeah. At least in his turn, in his beginning, it
Oh.
becomes a big Marvel villain that
Oh,
pisses
nice.
everybody off.
Oh, good for him.
Yeah.
Good for him. We'd love to see it. Okay, what are these rumors about Midnight Suns and Michael Giacchino?
Oh yeah, the Marvel would be wanting to make a Midnight Suns movie, and Michael Giacchino would be directing.
Interesting.
Yeah.
Very interesting.
We'll come with more about that when we get more news.
Mark Ruffalo says that the MCU had more mystique before the Disney Plus expansion.
He's not wrong, but again, he might be sour grape because
Oh, that's right, because they
Kevin
just
Feige
announced.
said a Hulk movie would never happen.
Yeah. Which, we don't need it. It's fine. I feel it. That's how I feel.
To be honest, I feel like Ruffalo was not even close at any moment, at any point, to be the best of the three Hulks the MCU had. I mean, the recent Marvel had Eric Bana, superior actor. Edward Norton, way better actor than Ruffalo. And they did very good job as a Hulk. Ruffalo was like, okay, but if there's just if anything, if they're gonna make a Hulk movie, I wouldn't cast Ruffalo and try to get Norton back. But anyways.
But also, I mean, like you just said, we've had three different Hulks in the last, like within what could be considered the MCU.
Yeah,
Like,
no,
it's
technically the
okay.
very first wasn't, the Ang Lee wasn't, but Norton was,
But
yeah.
the point remains. Like, we've had several, like, the Hulk solo movies. Oh, yeah. I feel like we're good. Okay, what's going on with Disney's manufacturing, or not manufacturing, but distribution of physical copies? They've made some interesting moves.
Yeah, they're closing it down, the service Disney Movie Club, I think that's what it's called. That you can get VHS DVDs, a home, and they're shutting that down this summer, and they're basically shutting it down the whole physics department. They're not producing more physical media. They're moving that to Sony.
Yeah.
Sony's gonna take that. It's gonna produce, distribute, sell Disney properties. It's, I don't know. Disney not making money. Sony's gonna find ways to make money.
Yeah, I
Either
don't
way, it's very interesting, and it's a
know.
sign of times that the physical media is because once physical media is gone, they create a monopoly of the property of the intellectual property. Meaning you can only have through them. Also, they create the tools for censorship are like up there. If one day someone decides that something on one of the animations that Snow White, it's I don't know. The Snow White should be something. It sounds crazy, but this is the same level they do these days might increase to a point in the future that might happen. But they decided Snow White should be black. They have tools that they could change the movie into that, and nobody can do anything about it. Or if they decided that, oh, this movie is improper for whatever is the fashion, social,
Whatever the zeitgeist of the era dictates.
yeah. So, oh, this movie, so the movie is erased from existence because if it's only on streaming, you know. So it's kind of a Fahrenheit type of scenario because,
The Fahrenheit 451.
yeah.
Yeah.
Anyways, but yeah, Disney is out. Sony will take over. So Sony does a good job. They with PlayStation and physical media, they're still doing, they're still keeping the physical alive.
Yeah. Okay, massive changes of the Thunderbolts ending?
Yeah, Thunderbolts is going through massive reshoots. Us, Captain America, whatever the name they're going by now, new movie. And yeah, it's a lot. It's like they're gonna change it. And
I don't know. I mean, if the ending was like building up to Kang or tying into Kang or anything
oh, it
else,
could be
then they
then.
would have to.
Yeah.
So hopefully it's just
Also, if
that.
the movie was bad,
That too.
because Captain America, he changed drastically. They changed a whole plot, block of the movie.
Yeah. So, I don't know. We'll see. Good luck, guys. You're gonna need it. Last but not least, a Disney executive has blamed, do we know which one, or is it just like,
Oh, I can't remember his
there's
name.
just somebody, blames fans for Marvel and Star Wars failures.
Yeah, it's like, come on, you're asking to lose money. It's like you make a cake, or bread, or cookie, or you're selling anything, and then comes a consumer to complain because, oh, this cake, you put salt in this cake instead of sugar. I say, no, you're wrong. There's
It's
something
your
wrong about
fault.
you. It's
You're
your
the worst.
fault. Really? It's like, this is not Russia. This is America. Seriously, it's and but there's people that agree with them. People that between bots and sheep, there's a lot of people online that it's like, oh, that's true, it's true. It's like, you should praise Madame Web. It's a really good movie. We waited so long for that. Nobody waited any time for Madame Web. Come on. And you know, I was like, oh, the crap they're doing in Star Wars and yeah.
If you like this stuff, good for you. I'm happy for you. But I didn't like it. I didn't think it was terribly well done. And I think they are ignoring a lot of stuff that like fans are pretty open about wanting. There was a line in the Last Airbender live action series that came like almost straight from a very popular Tumblr post that's gone around the Last Airbender fandom, where people are talking about Katara's style of waterbending and how these characters, anyway, like this whole fan discussion that's been happening for years. They referenced it in the show. You could tell, and there were lots of other moments where you could tell, like, maybe they didn't make all the same decisions I would have, but the people making the show paid attention not just to the source material, but also to the fans. Which is good, because who's gonna watch your show? The fans. And if you're not
Yeah.
making it for your audience, like, who are you making it for? It doesn't make any sense.
Yeah.
And if your audience doesn't like it, that's not a them problem, it's a you problem.
Yeah,
You
and
tried something and it didn't work. Learn and move on.
the same way that someone is selling a cake, the cake has salt, and the consumer comes to complain. The cake has salt. It's like, no, you're wrong. That person will never buy cake from that guy anymore. So the studio
It's
is
true.
going for this way, woke garbage agenda and doing whatever they want and not what the audiences want. They will lose audiences and they will lose and they will lose and they will lose. And then they might come back, but they're gonna have to work harder to get audiences back because there's options everywhere.
That's true.
And even
There's options and they have a lot to prove.
you can go back, you can always go back to the classics, you know, like the mess, the garbage they make with the comic book industry these days. It's like, okay, fine. You keep publishing your garbage, nobody's gonna buy. I'll go back to.
I'll read Death and Return of Superman again.
Silver Age, Golden Age. I'll go back to Jack Kirby, John Byrne, George Perez, Mark Wolfman, the real good Stan Lee, the real good talented guys.
Mm-hmm.
When you, like some people say, on their interwebs, like you're hiring hobos to write your comic books. No. Anyways, pink hair people. Anyways, that's anything else.
No, that's our whole list.
But, okay.
Sorry to end on kind of a downer. Yeah. Oh, no. Here's a positive one. An American vehicle landed on the moon today for the first time in 50 years.
Odysseus?
No. Yeah, Odysseus.
Odysseus.
Yep, yeah. It's from a private company based in Texas. But it landed. It's upright. It's transmitting data. This is very exciting.
Oh, it's unpopulated? It's
unmanned.
Unmanned?
Yep.
Okay.
Yeah, but seriously, first time in like 50 years that an American spacecraft
that's cool.
has made it to the moon. So
yeah. Well, talking about space.
Yeah.
Next week you saw Dune, so we come back with all the details.
Yeah.
But that's it for this week.
Mm-hmm.
May the force be with you.
Live long and prosper.
Bye.
Bye.